Good morning, Bruce.
And good morning, Cora. Good morning, listeners. Wonderful to have your company today on the 19th of November. Well, I reckon that makes it about 6 weeks or less till Christmas. I hope you're enjoying the post-COVID restriction freedom that we're all, getting out and about, doing things and enjoying this weather. And 34 degrees today. Wow, that is going to be a warm one. I'm thinking I should be heading to the beach or something. But anyway, a big shout out to all of the people out in the vineyards at the moment who are thinning and who are shoot thinning and looking after those vines with the amazing season that is ahead of us in time for the 2021 vintage. And of course, it's only now about 3 months until picking starts next year. So there you go. We've got another five programs to go this year leading up to Christmas, and I do have a couple of spaces there. So if you are someone who has a story to tell or is involved in a community group of some kind, a not-for-profit organisation, anybody at all that would like to have a conversation on here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, would love to hear from you. Just make contact and we will slot you in. That would be fantastic. After our next song, I have an amazing guest, someone who, she's travelled the world. She's had a pilot's license. She's crossed the African desert. She started her own business from scratch, and she's a local. And she's not going to be a huge surprise to some of you because you'll know her, but I'm not going to tell you who it is yet. So let's have a song, and we'll welcome our very special guest this morning. As we've come to expect, we always have interesting people, people with stories, people who have done amazing things in their lives. And this morning's guest, Anne-Marie Manders, is no exception. She is someone who has crossed the African desert. She has been in a plane crash. She has set up her own business here in the Yarra Valley and a whole lot of other things besides. And On top of all of that, she's an amazing Toastmaster who's in the, well, the area finals of the speech competitions this Saturday, and we'll talk about that a bit later. But Anne-Marie, welcome. Good to have your dulcet tones on radio this morning.
Thank you, Bruce, for inviting me. And I thought, seeing as you've touched on the me travelling across the African desert, I'd like to just tell you a little bit about that journey.
Fantastic.
I did this in 1974. It sounds ages ago. I was young and adventurous, and I was still adventurous, not quite so young, unfortunately. But the story, it all started through a friend of mine who wrote me a letter and said, look, there's this safari across Africa, how about coming? And I thought, well, I don't think I'll ever get this other opportunity. So without going into too much detail, it started off in Tunis, and we camped on the beach in Tunis for 5 days. There were a group of us of about 26, all in Land Rovers. So in total, there were 5 Land Rovers.
Wow.
And while we spent that 5 days on camping, we were everything was worked out about how the whole journey was going to operate. We were all given specific responsibilities. Different people were given the responsibility of being in charge of a Land Rover and the daily checks of the engine, etc., learning to drive in sand and rocky plateaus, etc.
Wow.
And then collecting water, collecting wood when there was wood, first aid, food, working out the menu and all that sort of thing. So it was a lot of work, but it was really good spending that 5 days. We were then also divided into people who could camp with one another. So we had our own tent, which we shared with someone else. And I actually shared my tent with a med student from Nova Scotia.
Sounds like you had a bit of intense excitement there, Anne-Marie.
It was amazing. And we still keep in touch. So she lives in Halifax. And after all these time, I haven't seen her since, but we just keep in touch by mail or email.
Fantastic. Did you get to cross the desert? Did you make it?
Well, yes, we did. But when we crossed the desert, there's no road. And there are parts of the desert, unbeknown to a lot of people, the Sahara Desert is not just sand dune. There is an amazing rocky plateau called the Tassili Plateau. And if you look on your atlas, it's on the eastern side of the Sahara. Now, it is so rocky, and there are no tracks whatsoever. So the Land Rovers had to follow cairns of rock that have been built for the camel caravans.
Okay.
And we didn't know what to look for, so we had a Tuareg guide. And the Tuaregs are the nomads of this part of the Sahara, and they're the most amazing people. They're called the Blue Men of the Desert.
Wow. And are they the ones that speak French?
Oh, look, I think if he does speak French, of course they would have their own dialect as well.
Yeah.
Our Tuareg's name was Bedidi, and I only ever saw his eyes because he was wrapped up in about 4 metres of blue turban, which, you know, occasionally I would see him at 4:30 in the morning wrapping this around his head. And he would live on dates and sweetened condensed milk.
Wow.
And we all slept out under the stars, and Bedidi would just point in one direction, right, left or centre, and we would
go that direction.
Wait, exactly right.
Anne-Marie, how long did it take you to cross the Sahara?
3 weeks to cross the Sahara, that part of the Sahara, but the going over the desert, over the rocky plateau, we averaged about 30k a day. It was just incredibly slow. And that's the thing that stands out of my mind more than anything. It was like organ parts of rock. It was just unbelievable. And then we got into the desert part. Now, we had a great big huge Bedford truck that had all the provisions and spare parts for the Land Rovers. And occasionally it would get bogged. And we had sand ladders strapped onto the sides of the truck. So the men in the group would take them off and put them dig holes and put them in the front of the truck, and then everybody would get behind and push the truck up over the sand ladders. These are ladders that they used in the Second World War from planes to land.
Fantastic. And
once the truck got going, it just kept going. It just couldn't stop.
You're listening this morning to Anne-Marie Manders, and no, she's not talking about her post-COVID trip to New South Wales or something or other. She is talking about a journey that she made with a bunch of other people across the Sahara Desert. And wow, that is absolutely amazing, Anne-Marie. You survived, and is it that kind of adventurous spirit that has led you to tackle some of the other things we're going to talk about today?
Yes, well, I've always been adventurous. I've done a lot of adventurous things too. But just one thing I just want to point out about Africa, it's a country of contrasts. And the desert was one contrast, where it was just hot and lack of water and all the things we had to do to survive. And then going down into Central Africa, which it was lush and green and humid. So these were amazing contrasts.
Wow. Sounds a bit like you, Anne-Marie. You're a person of contrasts too, and we're going to hear more about your story after the Proclaimers. Well, very appropriately, I'm on my way.
I'm on my way from misery to happiness to be. I'm on my way from misery to happiness to be. I'm on my way to what I want from this world. A kiss from now, you'll make it to the next world. And everything that you receive up yonder is what you give to me the day I wonder. I took a right turn against the day.
And I have a very adventurous spirit on the Zoom line this morning, none other than Anne-Marie Manders from the Waratina Lavender Farm right here in Wandon. And we've already heard Anne-Marie's story of crossing the Sahara Desert. And, well, I also happen to know that Anne-Marie used to have a pilot's license. And Anne-Marie, tell our listeners, you actually had a plane crash. Tell us about what happened, and did, well, you obviously survived, but how did you survive?
Yes, well, actually it was in an aeroplane air race, and it was my very first air race, and it was for women only. It was called the Ladies Oaks Air Race, and the press were down there at Moorabbin Airport to get some footage. I couldn't get the plane that I had learned to fly in. I'd only done just over 200 hours total, and so I had to do a quick endorsement on another plane, which was a little bit less familiar to me. It had a different sort of a nose wheel, so therefore its characteristics in landing were a bit different. But needless to say, I got the endorsement, and I was allowed. I had one of things for the race, you had to be all up weight. In other words, you had to have the plane filled with ballast. So, and it was a women's air race, so I filled the plane with women. That was my ballast. And I had two women in the back, and I had another lady in the front as a co-pilot who was learning to fly a Tiger Moth. So she had a bit of experience, but she didn't have her license. So we took off. We didn't know where we were going, so as the flag went down and we took off, we were given through the window of the plane a navigational letter saying that you would climb out to such and such, and then you would head on a certain compass heading, and then you had to answer questions. When you got to the end of that compass heading, you then went on another one and you answered your questions. So we were really happy with our timing and our answers to the questions, and coming back into land. As I came down to land, the plane bounced a little bit on touching down on the runway. Now, that's not uncommon in a small aeroplane.
Sure.
It bounced a little bit and what we call ballooned. Well, the lady that was the co-pilot, she grabbed the controls of the plane, and I said, take your hands off, because, I mean, that's an absolute no-no. I was in control.
Yeah.
So I then had settled it down a second time to make it land, and the second time it bounced again. This time she grabbed the controls again, pulled them into her chest. That made the nose go up, the plane stalled, and then it crashed down on the runway. So there's my ballast in the back seat up in the air.
And wow.
With the tail of the plane, we've got our nose in the mud and the wheels broken off. So the press got their photo. I was incredibly traumatised by it, but nobody was hurt.
That's great.
And she admitted that she had interfered. So as a result of all of that, because I didn't taxi to the end of the runway, I wasn't eligible for an award. However, at the end, at the luncheon, they gave out all the awards to the best flyer, to the first in the air race, to the quickest plane, etc., etc. And there was one more trophy on the table, and it was the Encouragement Award, and I received the Encouragement Award because if I had have taxied to the end of the runway, not only would I have won the race with the best time, first air race, and the least number of flying hours experience. However, I got the Encouragement Award and my photo on the third page of the Age.
Oh, congratulations. That is a fantastic, well, mostly fantastic story, Anne-Marie. That's really terrific. And have you flown since then?
Yeah, well, I did. I mean, they say if you fall off a horse, jump back on. And so I did. I went down and flew again the next day. I was a bit nervous, of course. But I haven't flown now for a long time, because once I had our children. It was more important that I survived.
Yes, of course. And look, we're going to hear the next adventure of Anne-Marie Manders after our next song, because the adventure just continues. It's an amazing life, Anne-Marie, and we're just so appreciative of you sharing some of it with us and our listeners this morning. So let's hear something from Russell Morris.
Believe I'm really meeting a girl like you on such a day. Maybe I'm maybe only dreaming. Mr. Sun, come back Tuesday. I don't know what to say. A guy like me becomes all tongue-tied. Hello, I love you doesn't seem so right. With a girl like you, it's love at first sight. Hello, I love you doesn't I've never met before. A girl like you I'll never meet again. And then, do you want me half as much inside as I'll want you till the day I die?
And that was Russell Morris with Sweet, Sweet Love. And You're a part of our regular Community Conversations program here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. My very special guest this morning is the adventuress, the amazing adventurer, Anne-Marie Manders. And Anne-Marie has already told us about her story of crossing the Sahara Desert. She's told us about her plane crash, where she actually would have won the woman's plane race. No, do we call it a race? A flight? If it were not for the fact that we had a bit of a bumpy landing. But Anne-Marie, your adventures don't stop there, because you decided that your next adventure was going to be to set up your own business here in the Yarra Valley. So tell us what happened that led you in the direction of this particular business, which I'll better let you tell us all about it.
Yes, well, I had visited a lavender farm with my parents back in 1989, and I just loved the way it was all set out. It was all very neat and tidy and organised, and that is, I'm very comfortable with that, because my profession is an operating theatre nurse, and I love everything organised and neat and tidy. And lavender is set up in neat, tidy rows. That's how it grows. And, I mean, as to how you keep your sheds and everything is another story. But I love the way that it looked in the field. And we have a farm in Wandon.
Yeah, just up the road there, yep.
Yes, and it was an old cherry orchard which needed to be pulled out. And I've always had the attitude with land that if you've got a bit of land, utilise it and put it to some purpose. And so I jumped in the deep end and I started to grow some lavender, and I thought I would just have a little hobby. I found someone...
famous last words there, Anne-Marie.
Yeah, famous last words. And, of course, my hobby, which started off with 500 plants, ended up being a small business. After 2 years, I lashed out and I thought, I think I can make a business out of this. I honestly can say I knew nothing about running a business, and quite frankly, if I knew what I know now, I probably would never have started.
Yes, you...
However, I just need to say this for any people who are thinking about starting a business. Don't dream it, do it. It is good to do a bit of research. I didn't do research, and in hindsight, it would have been good if I had. But I was determined to make it work, and so jumping from 500 plants to 12,000.
Ouch! That is a lot of lavender plants, Anne-Marie.
and then just learning about all the different things of lavender and how you can what you can use it for, and how you sell it, and how you can make some money.
Anne-Marie, it sounds like some very long days there, picking and cutting, and I'm not sure what else you do with lavender. Do you have to prune it and things like that?
Oh, yes. It's a perennial, so it doesn't have to be pulled out every year. However, there are winter jobs and summer jobs. The obvious summer job is the harvesting, which is not very far away. We're just coming into lavender harvest time now. In the next 2 weeks, the winter jobs or the autumn jobs are cutting all the lavender back and making it making the plants more uniform in shape, because they look a bit untidy after the harvest. So then there's the weed control and the feeding and general maintenance.
You've got to have a lot of energy, I reckon, to run a business like that, Anne-Marie. I'm amazed at. I know you start very early in the day and you finish very late in the day. If you're listening this morning and you want to know more about Anne-Marie's adventurous journey and the amazing business that she has right here in the Yarra Valley, you can go to her website, which is www.warratinalavender.com.au. I'll just spell Warratina for you. It's Warratina, Warratina. So it's www.warratinalavender.com.au. Or you can send Anne-Marie an email at just Anne-Marie, all one word, A-N-N-E, Marie, M-A-R-I-E, at warratinalavender.com.au. And you can find out all about the amazing story of the Waratina Lavender Farm. It really is an adventure, Anne-Marie, that has continued throughout your life. And after this next song, we're going to, we're going to hear another adventure that you have embarked on in recent times. So here's a couple of songs, Anne-Marie, that I thought might be appropriate for you. April Byron, What's a Girl to Do? And Johnny Cooper, Farmer John. There you go. We've got the wrong gender, but we've got the right theme.
Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
My very special guest is Anne-Marie Manders, and Anne-Marie, your adventurous spirit has continued all the way along because some 10 years ago you joined Toastmasters as well, and for listeners who may not be familiar with Toastmasters, it's about gaining confidence in public speaking and being able to give a clear story. You're also a poet. We're not going to have time for any of your amazing poems this morning, Anne-Marie, but I've had the pleasure of hearing some of those. But tell us about how you got on to this after crossing the Sahara, being in a plane crash, setting up your own business, and now we're joining Toastmasters. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, well, I am also a member of the local CWA, and one of the things the CWA do each year when they have their state conference, they have a public speaking competition. And quite a few years ago, when the conference was at the Melbourne Town Hall and I was in the audience, only two people out of the whole state of Victoria participated in that competition. And I thought, how terribly sad is that? And I thought, there can't be that much to standing up on the stage and giving a speech. And so I spoke to a friend of mine who is a member of Toastmasters in Lilydale, and she said to me, Anne-Marie, there is more to public speaking than just standing up on the stage. Why don't you come to Lilydale Toastmasters and see what we do? And I loved it from the first visit. And I learned so much. It's not just about public speaking. It's about how you run a meeting and agendas and listening to other people and impromptu speaking and not saying filler words, et cetera, et cetera. And I loved it, and you all given the opportunity of telling anecdotes and stories and learning how to formulate a speech. And so that, of course, is what we all know, because you, Bruce, you and Cora have both very experienced Toastmasters as well. And so I joined Lilydale, and after a few years, I then joined Healesville. And I'm now just a member of Healesville, and I love the Healesville group. We're just a small group, but I really love the friendship and the learning experience and the encouragement and the evaluation that I get from being a member of Healesville Toastmasters.
Thanks so much, Anne-Marie. And if you are listening and contemplating joining Toastmasters, then why don't you just have a look? Google Toastmasters and you'll find that there are clubs in Lilydale, in Wandon, in Healesville and other areas that you might be listening from this morning. It might be the best thing you ever did for 2021. So there you go. Anne-Marie, we're conscious that this coming Saturday, in fact, you are in an area speech competition final representing Healesville. And tell our listeners... This is a bit of a different competition because you're given just about 2.5 minutes to speak off the cuff about a topic that you don't even know what it's going to be. So I could say right now, my life on a tractor, or my favourite coffee, or my first time on radio, or something or other that you just didn't absolutely expect, and you then have to frame a speech, don't you, for 2.5 minutes with a beginning and a middle and an end around that topic. Tell us, that sounds pretty scary, Anne-Marie.
Yes, well, I was quite nerve-wracked the first time I did one of these speeches, which is called a table topics speech, and this is now the table topics contest for the area, and you literally don't know what they're going to ask you, and you've given about 10 seconds to think in your head, and half the time you're really not sure what you're going to say, and you sort of formulate it as you're going along, and you've only got 2 minutes, and if you go 1 second over the 2 minutes, you're disqualified. But I must say, I really love table topics in impromptu speaking now, because I have got a lot of anecdotes that I can apply to a question. And you just simply never know what the question's going to be. And there are lots of little tactics that you can use. If you don't know what you're going to say, you can turn it around and then say what you want to say. And this is pretty typical of what politicians do. They never answer the question, do they?
No. Oh, fantastic, Anne-Marie. Hey, look, we'll listeners, go to another song, and then we'll come back and we'll just hear one more adventure that Anne-Marie has planned. And... we're going to listen to Sly and the Family Stone, Everyday People. There you go.
Everyday people.
And as we all adjust to these post-COVID times, well, we hope they're post-COVID, lots of things coming up in the next few weeks, including the Uniting Church Fete in Healesville next Friday and Saturday, the 27th and 28th of November. That'll be slightly scaled back and outdoors in line with COVID restrictions. And then 1 week after that, on the 5th and the 6th of December, so 5 and 6 December, Warratine the Lavender Farm, our very special guest this morning is Anne-Marie, will be hosting an open day where you'll be able to see all that lavender that Anne-Marie's been talking about, and to see the amazing business that Anne-Marie and, well, and her family and plenty of helpers have established some many years ago. And it just looks absolutely amazing, Anne-Marie. And I know you'll be a very welcoming host for anybody who wants to come out. If you want to come to the weekend on the 5th and 6th of December, you do need to book online. So you need to go to the website, which is with two R's, warratinalavender.com.au, warratinalavender, all one word, .com.au, and book online, and then you can sign up to come along on the 5th and the 6th of December. So make sure that you put that in your diary. That would be absolutely fantastic. And I know I'm planning on getting there myself, so that will be great. Anne-Marie, to finish off today, because we know you are so adventurous, we thought, Cora and I thought, that is, just off air, that we should put you on the spot in what should we say, in advance, to give you a practice run for the area speech competition on this coming Saturday, when you have 2 minutes to speak on a topic that you don't know what it's going to be about. So Cora and I have just decided that we're going to make a mock competition for you right now on air, and we're going to give you and just the thousands of people that are listening this morning the opportunity to hear you speak off the cuff on what we call as a table topic, a speech without notice. So you're ready? Are you ready to go? All right. So your speech topic this morning, Anne-Marie, is why would I want to be an adventurer? Why would I want to be an adventurer? For 2 minutes, please welcome Anne-Marie Manders.
Why would I want to be an adventurer? It is built into my spirit and DNA to be an adventurer. But to be an adventurer exposes you to the unknown and experiences that you've got no idea what is going to be put in front of you. Life is an adventure. There are highlights, there are low parts of the adventure. But let's talk about an opportunity of going on a trip. And you've got no idea what is going to happen when you're on that trip, whether it be going to the North Pole, whether it be going to Africa as I did, whether it be starting a new business, which we've already talked about. It is all an adventure, and there are highs and lows, and there are some fantastic parts of this whole experience that have some good times, learning curves, wonderful people that we meet, and opportunities of learning. I have learned so much, and I have so many people that I keep in touch with as a result of all these wonderful adventures that I have had. And the adventurous spirit not only teaches you to cope with when things go wrong, but also turn them around so that you're looking at the positive side of the adventure and put that down to an experience, apply it to the way you live, always keep in touch with the wonderful people you have met along the way, and the experiences will stay with you forever, and the low sides of it, you don't repeat the low sides if you can help it, and they are a part of making you a better person. So to be an adventurer is the best way to go.
And if you could see my sign now, that is exactly 2 minutes. Put your hands together, ladies and gentlemen, for Anne-Marie Manders.
That was a two-minute speech off the cuff on why you would want to be an adventurous person. Thanks so much, Anne-Marie, in advance of that speech competition that you have this Saturday. Good luck. We'll be listening. I hope you go really, really well. And that does bring our program to an end this morning. Anne-Marie, thanks so much for being our very adventurous special guest.
It has been an absolute pleasure to speak to you, Bruce, and also Cora there in the background. And thank you again for having me on board.
Fantastic. And we'll be back at the same time next week, 9 o'clock on Thursday morning, for another community conversation.